Hello, and welcome to the XCast X-Files Podwatch, episode 14. This episode is covering The Host and Blood. I'm your host, Clara Cook, and with me is Andrew Blaker, speaking to you from the US, and I'm coming to you from London. How are you today, Andrew?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So the first episode that we're focusing on is The Host. It was season 2, episode 2. The director is Daniel Sackheim, and the air date was the 23rd of September 1994. It was written by Chris Carter, and it's an interesting episode because Darren Morgan plays the Fluke Man, although you wouldn't recognise him since he's in costume most of the time. So the basic storyline is Mulder and Scully have been taken off the X-Files, and they're no longer assigned to work together, but Mulder has been assigned a case by Skinner to hunt a strange creature residing in the New Jersey sewer system. So, Andrew, what did you think of this episode?
I mean, The Host is a classic episode. You know, that there's you're hard-pressed to find many criticisms of it. It's a terrific Monster of the Week episode. This is only the second episode of the second season. So, you know, right off the bat, you have a real strong monster, strong episode. It's one of the most well-known monsters in all of the show history. So, I mean, I love this episode. I think it's suitably creepy and gruesome and just gross on all around. And I think that it's the reason why it's so popular.
Yeah, there were quite a few things I really loved about this episode. In particular, the fact that, as you say, it's a real classic Monster of the Week. The Flukeman really is a monster. And the fact that Mulder and Scully are really working together quite well in this episode, despite the fact that they aren't actually assigned to work together. So there's a lot of scientific exploration on her part. She's doing a lot. I appreciate her autopsy and research skills in this very disgusting situation. She seems to keep a clear head. Yeah. And meanwhile, Mulder's running around the sewer system trying to find this creature. It's interesting to see them working out of context when they're not actually in the X-Files, and that they still work really well together. That without the X-Files there, they're still drawn to this exploration of the paranormal. Yes. Even without an official framework of the X-Files.
Of course, you've got Gillian Anderson pregnant at this time, so she's, I believe, in almost every scene, she's either sitting behind a desk, you get a close-up on her face. The few times you do see her, she's wearing a coat or something. It's very, you know, she's very much relegated to the desk position for this episode, but it works. It works really well with the two of them kind of tag-teaming it.
Yeah, because I don't think this sort of situation works so well in other episodes. I sometimes feel like they kind of slotter in when we're doing a pregnancy, they sort of slotter in to certain scenes when Mulder needs help with something. But in this episode, I feel that she encourages him to do the autopsy of the Russian, I think he's a Russian engineer who's found in the New Jersey sewer system, which sort of starts this all off, mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah. She encourages him to let her do the autopsy in a way of keeping him in the FBI because of the fact that he's thinking about leaving the FBI now that he can't work on the X-Files, and he's being assigned these sort of boring cases by Skinner, who at this point we don't really understand where Skinner's allegiances lie. There's a nice mm-hmm. scene where Skinner basically right. tells him off right. in front of a room of FBI agents, which I think Mulder kind of was asking for, to be honest. So this is really a way of Scully keeping him engaged in staying in the FBI, which is nice to see. Like she says, you know, it's not just professional. She wants him to succeed in his investigations of the paranormal, and he can't really do that outside of the FBI. So what did you think of the special effects in this episode, the makeup and the costume that Darren Morgan has to wear?
It's just fantastic. Like I said, it's instantly recognizable. I thought it was really, really, really well done. One thing I want to give a shout out to was the scene in the when the sewer worker that is bit is checked out, goes home, and is in the shower, I believe, and coughs up the fluke worm.
Yeah, that's
that's
really
instantly
disgusting.
recognizable, and just even decades later, it's so gross. You see gross things on TV all the time, but that's still up there. So I think it was just a fantastic episode. Like you said, Darren Morgan in the actual costume himself. And I just love it. It's just a great, creepy episode.
It really also exploits the very human, element of disgust. You know, this disgust that we feel about sewers, about dead bodies, about worms, that kind of thing. I especially love the scene where the Flukeman climbs into the portaloo, because who hasn't been disgusted by a portaloo? You know, you're at a concert or a festival or I don't know, you're somewhere where you have to use a portaloo. And I think they know everybody in the audience probably hates portaloos, and putting the Flukeman in one was just kind of genius, really. I actually read that the costume was incredibly hard to move around in, and that Darren Morgan couldn't actually breathe through his nose. So he was unable to drink or eat anything while he was in the costume. and that the costume dissolved in water. So the makeup and special effects team had to remake the costume every day, because it would be ruined from the day before filming in the water.
And most of the scenes are all in water. I mean, you know, he's moving around, flailing around in the water with Mulder. I mean, that I can just imagine them having to kind of piece it together after every 15 minutes or so.
Yeah. This does have sort of a link to the overarching mythology, although not a very obvious one. But I think it's the first episode where Mr. X is heard from. So he doesn't make an appearance, but he speaks to Mulder on the phone.
Yeah, this is the one where he's on the phone, right? He says, I just want you to know. Is this the one where I just want you to know you have a friend in the FBI?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is that what? Okay, all right. I didn't realize that. But yeah, that's really neat.
And he gives Scully the sort of, I guess you would call it some sort of paranormal kind of magazine with headlines, sensationalist headlines in it, in which that's how she makes the link between the dead body and in the sewer. To the Russian ship, yeah. And
That's right.
And I think that there are some sort of really massively brilliant standout bits to this episode, like we've talked about. But there is, for me, there is a downside to it as well, which is that you never really find out who the Flukeman is or why he exists or what he's trying to do. I assume Scully says he's trying to find hosts to feed off, to mate on. Mate with, to replicate, basically. But he just kind of, he goes out to sea at the end, and you never really find out how he was made. I think you're supposed to think that he's come from Chernobyl, so that the actual ship in the bay is carrying materials from Chernobyl.
Well, I don't know if you've read any of the comic books, the season 10 comics that came out, I want to say it was 2014, 2013, they actually did a sequel to this story.
Oh, really?
They did, yeah. And cool. It's called Hosts. Very original title. But and it kind of picks up with it, basically sequel to this story. And I believe, I haven't read it for a little while, but if I remember correctly, Chernobyl does tie into it directly. And they talk about that, the origins of all that. So it's pretty interesting.
So like two species sort of morphing through the being exposed to radiation.
Yeah.
And like nuclear waste.
Everyone, pretty much universal opinion that it's a great episode with a great monster. And it really sets the bar for what standalone Monster of the Week story should be in terms of makeup, special effects, writing. It just really hits it on all the points, I think.
All right, let's move on to our second episode today. And the second episode is Blood. So it's the episode Blood, season 2, episode 3. The episode is directed by David Nutter, who, in my opinion, has a pretty amazing name, to be honest. He's directed quite a few other episodes of The X-Files, including Irresistible and Clyde Brookman's Final Repose, which is a big fan favourite. This episode is written by Darren Morgan, who was just in the Flukeman costume. So the short synopsis is that Mulder is called to investigate a series of violent crimes and murders in a small Virginia suburb, which is seemingly all perpetrated by mild-mannered civilians. So basically people who would never normally commit these types of crimes. And it soon becomes apparent that they're all being told to kill people with the machines that they have around them. So the dashboard, like the machine in a dashboard of a computer or a clock radio or mobile phone, that kind of thing. What did you think of this episode?
This is an episode that I rank personally in probably my top 30 episodes. I'd have to roughly say it. I just really like the premise of it. I really like the premise of it. I like the paranoia of it. It reminds me a lot of an episode that we'll cover later in season 3 called Wetwired. It's very similar plot, basically, that there are subliminal messages through you know, data through the media, and that's one of my favorite episodes. So this one comes in a second place, so to speak, but because it's such a similar episode. I think the special effects are rather dated in this episode, which for me kind of lowers my opinion of it just slightly. But, you know, what are you going to do? It was, like you said, 94. So I really like this episode, though. I think it's a very underrated episode.
What do you mean by special effects in particular?
Well, I'm thinking I very well could be confusing this with a scene from Wet Wired. And if I am, I'm sorry. But I think there's a scene where a woman is looking into the sink, dish soap, dish suds, and sees static. Television static. This may be from Wet Wired. I don't recall.
Well, they're very similar episodes, though, aren't they?
They are. And then I'm probably confusing them. Yeah, yeah. But what does it for me is the opening credit. You know, where you have this guy who is a postal worker, and it captures the monotony of working in the post office, and is then fired and basically just loses it from there. I just thought it was a really a good characterization on Darren's part.
The postal worker is called Edward, and he's played by William Sanderson, who's actually a character actor that you see in quite a lot of things. I'm sure I've seen him in other episodes of science fiction before. He's just a great actor. He just exudes this like nervousness, you know. He looks, yeah, the entire episode looks like a man who's ready to pop, you know. It doesn't surprise me that he ends up with a gun at the end of it. I do also think of the way he's fired is particularly horrendous. The guy just fires him right there and then, and sort of, I think, hands him a few dollars or something, so you know, we know that everybody collected all this money for you, and it's all a little bit sad, really. I like the episode for a number of reasons. I mean, it's like you said, it exploits that sort of feeling of paranoia, of subliminal messages through technology, the idea that your phobias are going to be exploited and that you just won't be able to contain yourself in that moment that you're finding frightening, like the guy who's trapped in a lift and ends up killing everyone in the lift because he's claustrophobic, or the woman that's so frightened of being raped that she ends up killing the man fixing her car because she's frightened of him. But that also is a double-edged sword for me, because the usage of real violent events to add flavour to the story. So, for instance, when Edward is in the shopping mall and he sees images flashing to him on the television of it's stuff like the LA riots, the beating of Rodney King, Charles Manson. I find that like it's a little bit crass, I suppose. And the shooting at the end, which takes place where he's at the top of a clock tower and he's trying. We don't really see anyone die, but he's trying to shoot at people on the ground below. I mean, there are shootings like that do happen and have happened in America. So I suppose they're kind of echoing that sort of real life scenario. But I did read somewhere that somebody watched this, I was on a blog years ago, and said that it was very similar to the shooting that took place in the University of Texas in 1966, and how they felt that the X-Files perhaps could have used a different scenario. Like, he could still have shot people, but not from a clock tower, because they felt that was a little bit too close to home. And sometimes the X-Files does skirt on that, I think, slightly. Sort of, it's trying to exploit the audience's fears, but it's also sometimes maybe taking things that people actually do find really traumatic and using them for entertainment. So I think I found that a little bit hard to take in this episode. It was great to see Mulder doing some profiling, though. So he profiles right at the beginning. He profiles the killers, and he doesn't come up with an answer because they're all obviously innocent civilians who are being pushed into killing people. But it was great to see him do some profiling. He's trained to profile, and he's exceptionally good at it, and we don't really see him do much of profiling in the X-Files altogether. So it was great to see him doing that. The lone gunman make an appearance, which is good. They basically solve a big plot twist for him, which is that the chemical that's being sprayed to kill the flies on the crops is the chemical that is, yeah, making everybody insane. So basically, the insecticide heightens people's phobia, and the electronic devices contain subliminal messages which encourage and direct people's actions. And that's quite an effect. I think that's quite an effective plot device, really. It's the combination of the subliminal messages and the chemical making just normal people act absolutely crazy. So and the phobias are quite legitimate phobias. The phobia of sexual violence, you know, the phobia of claustrophobia being trapped in a small space, and also the phobia of blood that poor Edward has, because you can see Edward's very, I feel sorry for Edward. Like, he doesn't want to kill anyone, but he's sort of pushed into it. But I have to say, it's not an episode that I would pick out of this season as being my favourite. It's a very effective one. It doesn't have, I mean, it's not really a Monster of the Week episode, and it also doesn't it doesn't really fit into the mythology either. I guess it does in a way, because the government are experimenting on people, but it doesn't fit into the overarching mythology.
It's a very loose kind of fitting mythology. It feels very, it kind of feels like a mythology episode you'd see in the previous season, season one, before things were really, you know, off, which this is. I mean, this is pre Scully abduction, which is really the kickoff for everything. So it feels very 90s in its paranoia, in its interest, like you said, insecticides, subliminal media messaging, and I don't know, I think it's just a combination of all of that, that and yet it's also, in certain respects to me, it's also got its comedic moments, playing on the paranoia, the phobias of people, the overacting maybe of the main character in this episode. It borders on like he's just gonna have a breakdown at any minute, and I think that it kind of plays to that, you know, it builds this atmosphere of tension and paranoia, and I just found it really overall enjoyable.
Yeah, I think that for me this episode isn't as effective as other episodes, partly because I think that when I was watching it at the time in the 90s, I think I thought it was more frightening then. Technology itself was I guess it wasn't as developed, you know, and now we have so much technology and we use technology every day in every way almost, that I feel this fear of technology. I mean, it's kind of gone, really. And this fear of technology coming up in movies and films and the media, it's really been exploited and extended. And there's now films and TV everywhere about how technology can, damage us or hurt us, or we can be out of control with technology. And there's a series in the UK made by writer called Charlie Brooker called Black Mirror. And he talks, his shows and his episodes are very much about technology and how human beings use technology, and often in very bad circumstances, and they do very bad things with technology. So I think part of the reason why I don't enjoy this episode as much as I did when I was younger is because I've watched so much television since then where the use of technology is shown to have bad repercussions. So I think when it was originally shown in the 90s, I can see it being really quite shocking.
Yeah, it's certainly dated.
I think maybe what I'm saying is I'm being desensitized to the subject, if you see what I'm saying.
Right.
There is, however, a great line in this where Mulder says, "Fear is the oldest tool of power, and if you're distracted by fear of those around you, it keeps you from seeing the action of those above." And he's just explaining that this is an experiment by the government to make people frightened of each other, to the idea to distract them of what the government's actually doing themselves. So and I liked that. I liked that line. I thought it was very true. If you're frightened of the things that happen around you, you're less likely to look to the people in power and see what they're doing, as you know, and to study and look at what they're doing. And the episode ends really well with Mulder's mobile phone saying, "All done. Bye bye."
Yeah, that's a great ending.
Yeah, I'm all staring at it, shockingly, you know, shocked, which I think is a really good ending. So it does have its good moments, but I have to say I did enjoy the host more.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's definitely a superior episode.
So if you want to listen to any more of these podcasts, you can find us on the network. The next one we'll be reviewing, or the next one coming up in the next day or so, it will be podcast 15, and that will be Sleepless and Dwayne Barry, which are two great episodes. So please do tune in for those. You can find the XCast on Twitter at @thex_cast, or you can join us on our Facebook page and group, the XCast X-Files podcast fan group. And please do come and join us, tell us what you thought of these two episodes, and tune in for next time. So until next time, trust no one.